cool. Well, tonight I want to do things a little bit different. And you know, tonight I don't want to do things just a little. I just want to talk about a couple verses to you guys, and then I want to talk to some people who have and are living these verses. Like I said, tonight's just a little bit different, so I want to do things a little bit different tonight, just for the sake of changing it up a little bit. You know, in Ezekiel 33. If you guys have your Bibles, turn to it. Otherwise, we'll put it up there. But in Ezekiel 33, the Bible begins to talk about a couple of verses in here. And, you know, between these verses and another verse over in Romans, you know, we can see that God's desires mean you to love people to life. Love people to life. You know, in the past month, we've been talking about this thing called grace, about how God's empowered us to do amazing things beyond our ability. You know, God doesn't want us just to do amazing things and get a lot of money or be popular or famous or, you know, those are all really cool, good, neat things. But, you know, God gives us grace. God empowers us. God saved us. God rescued us. So we, for the express purpose of loving people to life, of not just keeping it within ourselves. You know, God always blesses us. We've said it a million times, to bless other people. God blesses us to get a blessing in us and through us to change other people's lives. You know, here in this verse in Ezekiel, God's talking to this man named Ezekiel, and he's showing him these pictures. It's kind of like in a dream or a vision. And he shows him this picture of this city. And you know, back in the day, a strong city would be fortified. It'd have a big wall around it. And he's talking about these people in the city, these warriors in the city called watchmen. These watchmen who would stand on the top of the walls outside the city by the gates, who would warn people. And you know, these watchmen, they would have these trumpets, and they'd have these horns, they'd have these flags. Sometimes they would set up fires for signals and things like that. And the watchman's job was to stay awake during his time and to keep an eye out to make sure that there's no danger coming, to make sure that an army wouldn't be approaching and they wouldn't be caught off guard by the danger that's coming. You know, and God begins to say in Ezekiel 33, verse 7, he says, "So you, son of man," that would be each and every one of us, sons of men, chances are there was a man involved in making you a son or a daughter. So it says, "So each and every one of us, so us, son of men, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel." And that's the people of God. God's made us a watchman over his people to stand on a wall and to look out for danger. He says, "Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me." You see, it's funny because God gave us a responsibility to love people enough to tell them the truth. You know, if we see danger coming, if we see a problem in their life, God's told us that don't just shut your mouth, don't ignore it, don't worry that you're going to hurt their feelings or we got to be polite or politically correct. You know, God says, look, if there's trouble, man, then you've got to do something about it. Because if you don't do it, who will? If you don't tell them danger's coming, then they'll be blindsided, then they'll be fooled, then they'll live in life in such a way that they're bound to lose. They're bound to die. They're bound to have their life and their city overrun. You see, God's called us to make noise and to speak his truth in people's lives, that we can love them enough to tell them the truth, to love them enough. You see, God's called us to do such things. You know, that's why we've been talking, God's given us grace so we can speak into people's lives, so we can love them enough to share God's love, God's truth, God's grace, so we can pray and we can see healings and we can see blessings and we can see restoration, that we can begin to heal people's relationships and do things. We can be a part of that as a watchman. You know, God's told each and every one of us, each and every one's a son or a daughter of man, that the people called by his name are called to be watchmen. And then over in Romans, there's this other verse that talks about repentance, and all repentance means is change. I mean, that's what the watchman's job is, to speak out so things can change. To where people are dying, they can have life. Where people are hurting, they can have life. Where people are in bad relationships, abusive relationships, where they're involved in sin, or maybe they're involved in, you know, certain things that are just out of whack, things that are keeping them from God. If they're involved in gossip or lying or slander, if they're involved in cutting or depression, if they're involved with these things where an army is approaching their life, God's called us to be a watchman in such a way. And he says right here in Romans 2, verse 4, it says, "Do you despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering?" You know, he says, don't despise the things God's given you, the responsibilities, the blessings. You know, and how do you despise them? By keeping them to yourself. How do you despise them? By ignoring them. How do you despise them? By not you letting them work in your life. You know, by ignoring them. He says, don't despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, his gift of salvation. He says, no, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. You see, the way we become a watchman is not just with our mouth, but by living a life that displays God's goodness, by loving people, by showing them the love of God, by not just accepting them, but by loving them, by giving of yourself for them, by loving people to life. You see, we're called. Each and every one of us are responsible. If you call yourself a Christian, if you say you know Jesus Christ, we're responsible to do something when we see danger in people's lives. And if you don't, the Bible says that blood, if you know better and you don't say anything, that blood of their destruction becomes on your hands because you knew better and you didn't say anything. I mean, wouldn't that be horrible? Is if you saw a truck coming down the highway, wouldn't it be horrible if you saw a truck coming down the highway and there was a person in the middle of that highway the truck was going to hit and you saw it and you didn't shout out or you didn't say turn around or and you had enough time to go out there and rescue them and you just watched it happen? The guilt that would be on your head. I don't know about you, but I would just feel horrible by myself if I ignored it and said, well, maybe they'll notice. You know, it's the same thing that God's telling us. If we see danger coming in a person's life, spiritual danger, physical danger, if we don't do anything about it, you know, God says, look, you have a responsibility to play in that. He says, you need to be a good watchman. And the Bible says not just to yell or to scream or to be mean or horrible, but he says the goodness of God, love, God's goodness leads people to change. It rescues people when we do that. And if we do all that we can by loving people that way and they still don't change and they still have destruction in their life, well, at least you've done your part to show them the goodness of God. Now, here's the thing. Is Mike, you want to come up here real quick? Are you guys both coming up? If you guys want to both come up, you and your wonderful wife or just Mike, whatever. I don't care. You guys are both amazing people. I got Mike and Krista. Come on up here. I want to talk to them real quick. This is like, ooh, the different part, you know? Okay, come up here real quick. Now, this is my chair. That's your guys' couch. So do you guys have a microphone? No, that's kidding. You know what? Let me go and get a microphone up here. They're gonna get one for you. So in case you don't know, I got Mike and Chris right here. They're old school like me. When I was a youth intern, they were in youth and stuff like that. They're not as old as me, you know. But they're pretty old anyway. The reason I want to talk to them real quick is because them and the next person I'm gonna bring up, they did this, you know, this whole loving thing, loving people life, the whole watchman thing. You know, when they were in high school, they did it. I mean, Mike used to be a leader in youth ministry way back in the old building, right? I mean, how old are you, bro?
25.
Is the thing on? I don't know either, man. Crispy didn't set you up. I know.
25.
That's okay. He's 25 years old. So, wow, 3 years, huh? I'm 3 years old. Yeah, that's on. Yeah, you should be able to talk to it.
25.
There you go. See?
There it is.
So anyway, to let them know what school you guys went to, how did it work between...
I went to Yucaipa High School. Anybody from Yucaipa?
YHS.
A couple. All right.
Ouch.
What?
Ouch. That's not my... No.
And I went to Colton. Anybody from Colton?
Yeah, you got to watch out for Colton. They're a crazy bunch around here. I know. Yucaipa, though. I like Yucaipa.
I liked Yucaipa. It's a good school.
I know. They got horses and stuff like that.
It was good to me. So what can I say?
Yeah. I don't know. That's all that matters, you know? And you were good to Yucaipa, too. You were really good to Yucaipa. But anyway, Mike's pretty tight. He, like, you know, I was your discipleship leader or something like that one time, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah,
we
did discipleship,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of scary. He turned out okay. But anyway, so Mike, now you I know you were involved with the Christian club and some stuff in school and stuff like that, and you love Jesus. And then you were like, Krista was like super open about God and stuff like that. I know because Nicole always says how she like was angry at you and stuff like that. Wasn't she jealous of you?
Yeah, she was.
Her sister was jealous of her because she was like Miss Christian and stuff like that. But it was really cool. So Mike, what did you do in school? Like back in the day, what did you do in school? For your faith and stuff like that.
Well, to kind of backtrack a little bit, I grew up in church. So, anybody here grow up in church? Kind of been in church for a long time.
Nice.
All right, cool. So I grew up in church from the time I was born to now. And it wasn't until I think I remember asking my mom to pray with me to be saved, and I was like 10 because we watched like the 1970 Left Behind series, and it freaked me out. I don't know if you guys ever seen that. It as a kid, it's scary.
My wife still has nightmares about that that show.
Anyways, it was the summer between 10th and 11th grade. The youth, we went on this really big mission trip down to like across the border in Mexico.
Remember that?
I remember the mission
to Mexico.
Or something like that.
Yeah, the Mission Impossible. That was cool.
Yeah, and so down there, I actually you know, we were doing the mission trip thing. It was really cool helping people, doing that kind of stuff. And God just really rocked my world for the first time. He, like, it the only way I could explain it was that I felt like the, I could actually see what God was seeing. And it changed my life. I remember just being like, I've fallen apart, just tore up. And like, man, God, I get it. I finally see it. And I remember at that time, I was like, all right, God. All the way before that, I was like, yeah, I want God. But it wasn't until that point that I actually said, man, I want to give myself back to God. Right? I actually wanted to, like, you know, I want to live this thing, and I want to make a difference and not just be a part of it. I want to live it. And so when I came back, I was in 11th grade. I came back, and before that, without meaning to, because I moved down from Northern California, I just kind of ended up with the cool people.
Oh.
You know? And so, yeah, it took me like a year to figure out. I was like, hey, I'm with the cool people. Sweet.
That's cool.
You know? Nice. And cool. Then, you know, so that was cool. And then, but when I came back, God just put it on me, like, you know, like, okay, if I came back, I was like, man, I got to make a difference. What God specifically told me down there is like, you know, you're doing good. Sure, you go to church, but you go to school, we had block schedules. So I had four classes, and it'd be like, okay, God told me there's 25, 30 kids in each class, probably 20 of them going to hell. And what are you doing about it? And I was like, well, I had just never thought about it that way.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I'm not doing anything. You know, I'm just enjoying the process of going to school. And so I came back and I was like, man, I got to do something. And God told me, I got to stop. I got to get new friends. I got to set myself apart and really take a step back from all that. And so I stepped back from all that, and I lost all my friends, quit hanging out with the cool people. Not that we were doing anything bad,
wow.
You know, but it just wasn't anything good or beneficial for God or for us.
Huh.
That's so a big deal. Like, all right, God, you know, it's not bad. It's not like, oh, you know, they're smoking weed. I'm gonna stop. That's not good. I got to stop doing that. It's like, no, okay, I'm going to come back, and I got to set myself apart. I really got to get plugged into God. I've grown up in church, but there's a difference. And so for that whole year, I was like, it was like the loneliest year for me. I was like totally lonely. I think one time I even went to my parents' room and I was like crying. I was like, Mom, I don't have any friends.
That's really sad. That is really, really sad.
It was. But I prayed. And that whole year, like, I just set myself apart and I was reading my Bible. I mean, I remember on like Saturday afternoons, I'm in my bedroom reading God Chasers.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just,
it was an old school book back in the day.
It's a good book.
It was
good
like
book.
The book back in the day. If you were a Christian, that was like the book you read. So,
yep.
Anyway,
Tommy
that's
Kenny,
what that was.
What?
So, I still have it in my office.
Yeah, and so I just really, I had a hunger. I had a passion for God. And so from that, I was praying, asking God for friends. God brought me this great guy. I met him at school, on fire for God. And that's what I wanted. I wanted somebody who's going to be on fire for God that we could go and do something, you know. And so his name was Jesse. I meet Jesse. I'm great friends with him to this day. And he lives out in Tennessee. And so anyways, our senior year, we got stuff going. We start doing the Alive Club. We called it the Alive Club. We actually started in 11th grade. And our senior year, we're like, okay, we got to do something. And we did this thing called JAWS Week, Jesus Awareness Week. Because there's this, you know, they have like Cancer Awareness Week or AIDS Awareness Week. All these different awareness things.
Sure.
So we thought, hey, it'd be cool. Let's do this thing called JAWS Week. And it's a whole, span it for a whole week. So something every day for a whole week to get everybody involved, you know, during lunch and at night and whatever, stuff like that. So it was really cool. We did something every day. I mean, Pastor Eddie came out. You came out at a lunch, I remember, I think.
Yeah, I remember. That was a mess. I gave away $5. It was pretty cool. Which I did last week, too. But anyway.
It was awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're so kind and generous. But you guys did, like, a concert and stuff like that, too?
Yeah, we did a concert. We had a night just of, like, all the really cool bands back then.
Oh, man. They're not cool anymore.
They're all gone. And we had Pastor Eddie come out and skate. We had Steve Wilbur. He was, like,
Man,
like on the radio on Air One, you know, doing those little things.
That Harvest.
He came out on a day and everything. So it was awesome. It was really cool because it really gave people an opportunity because at least in Yucaipa, there's a lot of like churches in Yucaipa and a lot of Christians in Yucaipa.
Sure.
But not many people actually doing anything about it. That's just kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, okay. Mm. But what it did was it gave people an opportunity to come and like find identity in that. Because,
sure.
You know, sure, a lot of... when you're in high school, like, you find identity in things. And so it gave people an opportunity to come, other Christians, to step out and find identity. Like, hey, I can get involved in this, and I can do something, and I can, you know, help make a difference and make a stand. And that was one thing that's really cool about doing something when you're in high school. It helps other people, but it really helps yourself too.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so I don't know. There's a lot.
That's really cool. I think that is really cool. I mean, working with your life club, and kind of making a stand on your senior year and everything like that. I think really, and then you're still doing really good right now. I mean, you still love Jesus and stuff like that, and you're 25.
I do.
He's like a million kids and stuff like that, so that's okay. And I don't know. I mean, he works at the church here too, and you help out with the school here, the Trisk kids, right?
Not this semester really, but
you
I did
will be.
Last semester, yeah.
So you're still working with teenagers and. Yeah. Change of lives on a semesterly basis.
On a
semesterly basis. How about you, Krista? What's up? What's the story with you and Jesus in high school?
Okay, I got saved. Well, I was kind of raised in church, but not like how he was. He had his mom and dad together, which is rare. My father was not in my life, my biological father, but I had an amazing stepdad and mom that brought us to church. But I didn't really get saved until I came to the Rock Youth when I was 16. I just got on fire for God, and we met at 17. I got involved. I didn't want to because I was really quiet and really shy, opposite from my sister. You guys know Nicole Forbes, because she's really loud and really loud and loud and really loud, and compared to me, I was just really quiet and just shy. So when I came to youth, it scared me because it just brings back memories. It was so loud in all the games, and I was like, oh my gosh, these people are crazy. So I remember just sitting by myself somewhere, and the reason why I got involved was because my mom made me, because I sang and I danced, which I still do ballet. But my mom made me get involved, and my sister made me get involved. And really, like, I thank God I did, because what kept me serving God was my friends. Because I had friends at school, but thank God I didn't party with them. I didn't do any of that. But I didn't really have any friends at church until I came to the Rock. And I met amazing friends that I'm still friends with, like, to this day. They're in my wedding, and we're still really close. It's been over 10 years. Angelina Vega and another close friend of mine. And I guess what really matters is who you hang out with, because that really is who you will become. And God really put it on my heart that you need to lay down your friends right now and bring them to church. I brought them to church. So I got saved my junior year, kind of like him. My senior year, I knew it was my last year in high school. And I really wanted to make a difference and bring people to God. And I know we're young, you know, you guys are young, you guys are in 10th, 11th, and senior, but it doesn't mean you guys are stupid. You guys have a brain, and you guys know God. If you've had that relationship with God, you can make a difference now. You don't have to wait until you're 20 or 18 or 19. You can do it now while you're in high school, because you won't go back. I know, you know, older people always say that, you know, you can't go back to your past, but you really can't. There's no rewind on your life. You can't push rewind and go back to school. Seriously, that's your only time when you're in school. That's the time that you have to reach those people. I talk to all my friends from church still, but everybody from high school, I talk to Tiffany. That's because she's my sister-in-law. But everybody else, you won't ever see them again. Yeah.
But Tiffany's here. She's a worker.
Yeah, she's
so
here.
She's one of the youth workers here. She's really nice.
But that's why I talk to her still from school, because she's my sister-in-law. But my point is just take advantage of where you're at now. And I guess you just really know, you need to know who you are in God, and that you guys have a purpose on purpose for a purpose. And ooh, God's giving you an amazing call. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. And but I just thank God I met God at a young age. I know it's made a difference. We got married at 19. We met here in the youth. I sang, he played the drums, and
that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I didn't notice him until one day. I was like, who is that?
We were in the original Catalyst. Yeah, thank you.
We it's true. It's true. They
yeah,
were.
We were.
Have pictures of them. They're really embarrassing.
We're the founders of the Catalyst band.
That's
and,
right. OG.
Yeah.
That's right.
So that's how we met. So seriously, meet the person you're going to marry one day in church, because it makes a difference. So we'll be married for 7 years this year. And three kids. And yeah. So just having that strong foundation on God, I know, has made a difference in our marriage. even though we were so young, we only met when we were 17 years old, got married at 19. But if we didn't have God, we would not be. It's nothing to do with us. We're nobody special. We just followed God and just wanted to make a difference in high school. And it really makes a difference in your life. The choices you make today will determine who you are tomorrow. It really does.
Good call. Let's give it up. Mike and Krista, man. All right. Well, I have to move on to my next guest here. So get that mic. Let's give it up for Mike and Krista as they head out. Thank you guys for coming in. And then Julia Alvarado, come on over here. Mike and Krista are very nice people. Julia, come on. You guys, I'm sure we all know Julia. She sang today. Oh, this is very beautiful. Thank you. Do I need decorations here? Thank you. Oh, according to Erica. Thank you, Erica, trying to keep us straight here. All right. Well, Julia, okay. Now, Julia, okay, Mike and Krista, they're old, like me. But Julia, you're senior, right? What school you go to?
I go to Rev.
Go to Rev? Yeah. Okay. If you're an RHS, it's okay. If you're an RHS, you can still show some Jesus love. But, okay, now here's the thing. You, Julia, I want to talk to you just real quick because you're actually doing a billion things that we've been talking about lately. So tell me, what are you doing in school right now with just the other people who are Christians in school? What's going on?
Okay, so we're meeting two times a week, once for devotions or worship or just kind of to self-feed, help each other what's it called?
I don't know, fellowship or something like that?
Yeah, getting strong. Fellowship.
Okay, fellowship.
So
that just means hanging out.
The first time is
like
fellowship.
Christians.
And then the second time is just kind of outreaching and doing stuff for our school.
Sure.
Just because we want to show just how much we love them. And it makes sense just to love them first instead of shove religion down their throat.
Sure.
So
That sounds pretty good, loving people first. No, okay, so what are you doing? So when you guys do outreach, what do you do, for example?
Okay, well, first, our first outreach was we went around praying. And we just asked people, we just went up to them and we were just like, hey, do you need prayer? And most people were just like, prayer for what? And we just said, if you just want prayer in general, we just want to show you that we care and we just want you to know that, there is hope and we're just going to pray with you, no matter if you want to or not, we're still going to pray, kind of thing.
Sure, sure.
And sometimes people would say, oh, pray for my family, or pray for money for prom, or pray for something. And honestly, it's worked so much. Right after we prayed with them, you could see their expression on their face was just totally different. They were just wow, it's so nice to be just, loved, They mm-hmm. felt it. You could tell in their eyes when you looked at them,
That's kind of nice. Okay, so you guys did a prayer. You guys did a thing of prayer. Is there anything else you guys did?
Yeah. I know.
Oh.
We just picked up trash the other day.
Really?
I think it was last Friday. And I know it seems kind of dirty, we're all on the ground picking up trash. But actually, I felt really satisfying. I felt really satisfied. I was just dang, our school looks so much better. We went to the places that no one really goes, but there's just trash everywhere. And so we just picked it up, and then people were just what are you doing? And I was just I'm picking up trash. And they're just why? Because I love my school, I just want our environment to be nice, just try to help the community. And they're just oh. And of course we had gloves, so don't worry, we weren't nasty.
That's good to know, but you're not dirty and nasty and stuff. You're touching our mic, but But okay, so what else is on the plans? I mean, you guys have with your Christian club or with other Christian stuff like that. What else are you guys looking to do?
This week on Friday, we're going to be making cards for children in the Loma Linda Hospital.
Oh, cool!
So, we have a leadership team, and we're just going to bring all kinds of arts and crafts supplies that we have, and just make as many as we can, just to show the kids in our community that they are loved, even though they're going through a huge disease. And so,
yeah,
it's just
tough.
Kind of helping that area.
Cool. So. That's cool. Well, okay, we gotta wrap it up in just a couple seconds. But have there been any other testimonies or results of kind of the things that you guys have been doing with the people around you? I mean, I remember you were telling me there's one girl, she got healed or something like that when you guys were praying for her. So what's the story about that?
Okay, so she just walked by me and I was just oh hey, I know you. And then she was just oh hey, well I can't take you home. And I was okay,
okay,
fine.
You ask her for rides a lot?
And then she was just like, I just don't feel good right now. And so we were just like, okay, well, can we pray with you? Because sure. We were already praying for everybody, so it just made sense just to pray. And then we prayed with her, and she just went home. And then, like, I texted her later, and she was just like, Julia, I feel amazing. Like, what did you do? And well, we prayed. Like, come on, prayer works. So
that's right. You tell her what's up. That's right.
Cool.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I think it's really exciting. I mean, and it's kind of cool. I mean, remember you told me that you just kind of felt like you wanted to leave high school with a bang.
Yeah.
And, I mean, do you feel like that's kind of where you're going? Do you feel like that's how things are doing?
Well, I got inspired when Michael was talking about his Jaws, where Jesus Awareness Week. I want to do that. So I'm hopefully going to plan for that.
Oh, wow.
And then also, we wanted to, like, do something with Catalyst coming out, okay. Like, during lunch or intervention sure. Or whatever we have.
Ooh, intervention.
So, yeah.
I was kind of wow. Okay. Man, you're breaking free out there then.
We're ridiculous scheduling.
Okay.
Sorry.
Cool. Well, you know, just let us know. I mean, honestly, and that goes with any of you guys too. I mean, if there's anything you guys are in your schools or any of your groups or clubs or whatever it is, just let us know. I mean, same thing with like, I mean, if you need people to come out and speak, I mean, we're not like advertising. Oh, come bring us. You know, any one of our interns or myself, Pastor Michelle, one of our youth workers over that, Catalyst. If you guys need any help with outreaches, rallies, and things like that, I mean, we've done it. I mean, that's what we do. So just let us know, and we're more happy to schedule and plan stuff like that. So, hey, thank you. Thanks a lot, Julia. Let's give it up for Julia. Mike Espinosa, thank you. Oh, yeah, go take that. Oh, you can shake my hand.
I
wanted the mic. Go give the mic. Go ahead. Anyway, all right. Okay, well, that's kind of that. So anyway, let's go do this. Let's go get ready to wrap up. You guys can clap again. All right, let's go and get ready to wrap it. Now, here's the thing, going to be a watchman. You're going to be a watchman. You know, the Bible talks about that. You know, you got to warn people of doom or destruction coming in our lives, just like Julie, you know. I mean, she sees someone who's in need of healing, someone who's not feeling good, doesn't want to give her a ride home, you know, whatever. You know, she gets shut down. You know, so she, as a watchman, as someone who wants to show God's goodness, prays, believes God, and all of a sudden healing comes into her life. You know, same thing with these children and Loma Linda. You know, same thing with Mike Espinosa. God hits them up and says, look, what are you doing about the people around you in your life? What hope have you given them? You know, and God very simply said, what are you doing to be a watchman? What are you doing to show them my goodness? And all of a sudden, they decide to take an entire week of doing that, of loving people, of sharing God's goodness with them. And that's what it is. That's living the Bible out. That's listening to God's voice and doing what he tells you to do. And that's what it is. As simple as that. As simple as writing a letter. As simple as asking someone for a prayer. As simple as getting together with your youth ministries and making something happen on campus. Whether it's small or big, it's all doing that. Showing God's goodness to lead people to repentance. It's all making a noise for people who have no hope, or maybe they're just wandering around in life, maybe with certain things going on in their world. You know, that's what it is. That's what it takes. So